Well, thank you very much. It's such a delight to be with you again. And thank you, Peter, so much for your very kind invitation. You must be sick of people coming in on the buildings, but let me say, they're wonderful. I'm just amazed at what you've done, what God's allowed you to do. I love them because they're open, welcoming, attractive, dignified, and friendly. And that's a great combination. And what a wonderful setting for your own ministry and also for evangelism as well. So, if I may say so, I praise God for you and for what you've achieved. Of course, the best is yet to come in terms of the ministry, isn't it? Well, trust in the Lord and go to the ant. Not the aunt, but to the ant. Two instructions from the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord from chapter 3 and verse 5. And 6:6, one of my favorite verses in Proverbs. Go to the ant and consider its ways. When ants invade your house, you may think of them as a nuisance. Think of them as a gracious gift of God. For we are to learn something from ants, and I hope you've already learned it. And that is to be diligent, busy, active, responsible. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. One thing I love doing when I read the Bible is to think of the contrasts, and there are many of them. Here's one. Trust in the Lord. Look at the ant. That is, trust in the Lord, but also be diligent, careful, thoughtful, concentrate on your daily responsibilities. Trust God and work hard. Or, trust God and keep your powder dry. Now, as a matter of fact, there are lots of contrasts in the Bible, and it's very helpful for us to think about them just for a moment. Here's Peter in Acts. We must obey God rather than men. Here's Paul, submit to the governing authorities. Or here's Jesus, honour your father and your mother. And again in Luke, you have to hate your father and mother. That is, love Jesus more than your father or mother. Or think of Matthew 11. Jesus talks about his disciples as those whom the Son chooses. That is, Jesus chooses his disciples. But then in the very next verse he says, you come to me. What a great invitation. Another one which struck me during the week actually was in Luke chapter 12, where in successive verses Jesus says, fear God. And then he says, don't be afraid. Now, of course, if your natural tendency is to be suspicious of the Bible, you'll say, well, there you are. It contradicts itself. We can't trust it for a moment. It doesn't know what it's talking about. Which is why, as a matter of fact, I chose the last example when Jesus says, do fear God, but don't be afraid. Because actually we need both instructions. And I've got a little box here which I hope will be helpful for you. I use this little box very often when I teach theology. Because what I say is, at one end is trust in the Lord, there it is. At the other end is go to the ant. Both instructions are there. You need to do both. Not one or the other. Imagine if at breakfast time this morning I'd sat at my breakfast table and trusted in the Lord to provide my breakfast. What would have happened? Nothing. I would have sat there a long time trusting in the Lord for my breakfast. And had I said to God, I'm trusting you for my breakfast, he would have said something like, well, buddy, you know where it is. Get off your backside, put the kettle on, find your cereal, open the fridge, eat your breakfast and stop complaining. Rightly so. But then it'd also be possible, wouldn't it, to live in a way in which you were so responsible, so worried about your life, so focused on what you had to do, your duties, that you forget to trust in the Lord. And I'm sure if we had a little show of hands, we'd find that some people are down the left-hand end. You just love trusting the Lord and let life look after itself. You must be fun to live with, that's all I can say. And others, and you've got the frowns. You're the conscientious people who are always going to the end, considering his ways and making responsible decisions and making lists, aren't you? You do that, don't you? And try to think, you know, what's the wise thing to do in the long term, that kind of stuff. And some of you, and this is like me, you jump from one end to the other. So in some things you trust in the Lord, in the others you worry like hell, like... Sorry. If you knew what I was going to say, then you're as guilty as I am. At other times, you worry a great deal. So I do this little diagram in theology. I say, well, now we've got the wrath of God and the mercy of God. The easiest thing is to knock one out and just have the wrath of God. Let's enjoy the wrath of God. Or the mercy of God. Actually, the truth is both. Not one or the other, but both. And that's so here. We have to trust in the Lord and go to the end. Now, it's easy to see that we could go too far to the left. I'll go that way. So I'm trusting in the Lord. Too irresponsible. God, you'll look after me. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? This would be silly too. Worry signs. Big responsibility. If I don't save the world, nobody will. If I don't have everything organized and planned for my life, the whole thing's going to collapse. No, as a matter of fact, what we have to do is both trust in the Lord and go to the end as well. You need both. And if you're going to put a text on your fridge, I'd put both if I were you. You might already have trust in the Lord. I'd put, add to it, P.S. and go to the end. Take responsibility for your life. Not one or the other. But you might be a person who needs one more than the other. You might be a natural truster and not a natural doer. A natural Mary rather than a natural Martha. So perhaps you need a good dose of going to the end. You might like to, some stage, just make a list of the things for which you're responsible in your life, the major responsibilities you have, and think how you're taking responsibility in those areas. That might be a good thing for you to do. But if you're naturally an over-conscientious person, all those lists, a natural worrier, then my advice is take a break. Try and spend an hour a day saying to God, I trust you. Because no matter how many lists we make and how well we organize ourselves and how responsible we are both for the present and the future, we can't control our life. We can't control the universe. We can't control what will happen to us. So, first message today, trust in the Lord and go to the end. Secondly, and there are only 2 points, so cheer up. Trusting the Lord also means, well, we had it in chapter 2, didn't we? Verses 1 to 2. Trusting the Lord, what does it actually mean to trust in the Lord? Well, here it is in chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Trust, receive God's words through the Bible. It still is saying, I trust God but never read my Bible. For you'll find the God whom you should trust if you do read the Bible. And your trust will grow if you read the Bible. My son, if you accept my words, 2:1, and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, applying your heart to understanding. So, we trust God's words in the Bible, receive them as we receive the words of the Bible writers who have been given those words by God. So trusting the Lord doesn't mean not reading and studying the Bible. Or are you saying, I'm going to set this book aside and just trust God? I don't need to do Bible study. I'm just trusting the Lord. When the Bible itself says, we trust God by receiving his word through the Bible. Or, and, 2:3-5. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find your knowledge of God. See, James says that if we want wisdom, we should ask for it. So it's not a matter of saying, well, Lord, I'm going to trust you and never ask you for wisdom. No, to trust God doesn't mean not bothering to ask God to direct your life. It means asking God to direct your life. It's silly trust, stupid trust, to trust God without reading the Bible and without asking God to rule our lives and direct our lives. And then in 2:6-8, when we do this, when we're receiving God's words through the Bible, when we're asking God for wisdom, then we need to trust that God will give wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come understanding and knowledge and so forth. So we're not reading the Bible and asking God because we don't trust God. We're reading the Bible and asking God for wisdom because we do trust God that he'll give what he's promised. You know, I often find that my praying turns into worrying. So, Lord, I'm worried about this and I'm praying for this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I go to bed and I think, oh, that's a great problem. I've got to think about that. Which means I pray but not trust it. Because I'm a natural ant, if I could put it that way. So I have to learn to pray trusting prayers rather than worrying prayers. Or again, on the other side of these famous verses in 3:5-6, we find, in those verses themselves, we find what it means to trust the Lord. We have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means not leaning on Bozo over there, your own understanding. And it means in all your ways acknowledging him, and he'll make your path straight. So here's the clue: all your heart and all your ways. All your heart means absolutely, completely, without reservation, trusting in God. Because he is the one who can be trusted in the worst situation you could ever be in. And one of the things I find such a comfort about being a minister is that I can say to anybody, no matter how appalling a situation is, even though I've never experienced an appalling situation like that, I can say, you can trust God now. Isn't that wonderful? He is absolutely trustworthy. So trusting the Lord with all your... He's the one person who is absolutely trustworthy. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and then in all your ways acknowledge him. And it's good to make a list of the ways, that is, the areas of life that you have to live. You're a child. You're a husband or a wife. Might be a parent. You might have friends. You might have a job. You might have unpaid work that you do for which you're responsible. You're a member of a church. You're a member of a community. So on. You're a thinker. You're a doer. You're a cake maker. You're a plumber. Whatever you do, in all your ways, we have to acknowledge him. Not just some of them, but all of them. You see, some people go in for selective trusting. I'll trust God for these things, but not for others. I was talking to a good friend of mine last year about trusting God. He was going through a time of great personal distress. And I discovered a most remarkable fact about him, and that is that he trusted Jesus Christ for his salvation. This is putting it very bluntly. But he didn't trust God to run the world. Isn't that amazing? So he trusted God's saving gift of Jesus Christ without question. But he worried every day whether the world was going to blow apart or we're going to blow ourselves up or something like that. So what I had to try and help him to do was to learn to trust God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, as well as God the Savior. It sounds a very odd division, doesn't it? But actually, it does happen. We can trust God about spiritual things, but not about material things. Or we can trust God for the present, but be very untrusting about the future. Or can we trust God for ourselves, but not for those whom we love and are caring for? Or we might trust God for our church, but not for our work, or for our work, but not for our church, and so on. We human beings have an infinite capacity to make life complicated for ourselves. And here's one way we do it, by trusting God in some areas and not others. Isn't that bizarre? If you can trust God, you can trust him absolutely. If you can trust him absolutely, you can trust him for everything. If you can trust the Lord with all your heart, then you can in all your ways acknowledge him. Now let me tell you, every now and then I do a little check of the things I'm worrying about. I've got lots of things to worry about, let me tell you. Two poodles for a start. That's a great worry. That's right. And what I have to do is to recognize the areas of my life in which I don't trust God and start trusting God. Trusting the Lord also means, verses 7 to 8, shunning evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. That is, some people try and trust the Lord as they're dallying with evil, indulging in mild evil, you see, turning against God. Well, you can't trust God and disobey God. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. God won't let you get away with it. You can't trust God and flirt with things which you know to be wrong. Or 3, 9 and 10, honour the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled with overflowing, your vats will brim over with new wine. Sounds fun. You can't trust God if you don't honour God with your wealth. If you're a wealthy person, you have to learn to give it to God. Otherwise, you might think you're trusting in the Lord, you're not at all. You're trusting in your wealth. And my observation about people is that the wealthier people are, the harder they find it to give. So if you're a wealthy person, do something about it. Stop saying, I trust the Lord, when you don't. I'm on the sort of council of the cathedral, and we were discussing at one meeting the honour board we would provide for those who gave more than $1 million to the Cathedral Restoration Fund. We were talking about this wretched honour board for a little while, and I was getting a bit sick of the conversation, so I brightly suggested that at the top we put to commemorate these and all other generous benefactors, that is, those who couldn't give $1 million. Discussion went on about this honour board and so on. So I finally got to you. I said, may I suggest a text we have at the bottom? How about they have their reward? They have their reward, they're on an honour board in the cathedral. Thrills for dills, in my opinion. And then, most painfully, even more painfully, verse 11 and 12 of chapter 3, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. So, don't say to me, I trust the Lord, if you won't let the Lord discipline you, correct you, teach you, change you. And here's a good test. How long is it since the Lord has graciously disciplined you, said no, allowed a difficulty to come in your life, a challenge, a place to grow? If the answer is 25 years or more, then it's probably time to rethink what trusting the Lord actually means. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Trusting the Lord, I find it hard to smile about this, but it means welcoming the Lord's discipline, taking no from God, not as a sign that God has rejected you, but as a sign of his love and tenderness. Well, the last week I've been in Brisbane speaking at a conference, and I met a young fellow there, and we got on quite well. He's a missionary in Mongolia when he's not in Brisbane. And he said to me, and this is a dangerous thing to say, he said, "I'd like to become a more thankful person." I said, "Right, let's start now. Are you alive?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Please say thank you to God for keeping me alive." 30 seconds later, I said, "Is your heart still beating?" He said, "Yes, I think so." I said, "That's wonderful. What do you got to say?" He said, "Oh, I suppose I've got to say, thank you God, my heart's still beating." A minute later, I said, "Are you still breathing?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, who's giving you the air?" He said, somewhat reluctantly, "Well, thank you God for giving me the air." I said, "What about your lungs? They're still working, aren't you?" He said, "And thank you for my lungs as well." And this conversation went on over the next 5 days. Every time I saw him, I went like that. And he said, "I'm thankful, I'm thankful, I'm thankful, thankful." Then tried to think what he was thankful about. Okay. But here's a very important lesson. It's not enough to trust in the Lord. We have to say to God, "I trust you." And if you're a person who does trust the Lord, then I hope you're a person who says every day to God, "I trust you." And if you're a person who doesn't naturally trust the Lord, it's even more important that every day you say to God, "I trust you, my Heavenly Father, today." When I began doing this, a most remarkable miracle happened in my life. I began saying to God, "I trust you that you'll provide enough time and energy for me today to do the good works you want me to do." Do you know what happened? A great miracle. My driving slowed down dramatically. And that was a great miracle, let me tell you. Because I actually said to God, "I trust you," so then I was actually doing it. I was trusting God, not worrying about my day, but trusting that even if I was caught in traffic, I'd be there in time. There was enough time. God was a generous God. He could run the traffic as well. Didn't have to worry about it. So I then made a list of things that I trust God for. And I've got some prayers I pray every day. I brought them along, and here are the prayers of trust I need to pray. I need to pray every day. "Heavenly Father, I trust your love, grace, and acceptance." Now, I'm not saying help me to trust. I'm saying I do trust. See the difference? I'm not saying help me to trust you. I'm saying I do trust you. "I trust that you've appointed me to serve you here at Ridley. I trust that you will give me all the gifts, time, and energy and health that I need. I trust that you will direct me to do the good works you prepared me to do. I trust that you'll direct the life ministry and mission of Ridley. I trust that you'll rule and provide for Ridley so that we serve you and do your will. I trust that Jesus Christ is the powerful and generous head of his church. I trust the Holy Spirit is at work here at Ridley, changing and maturing believers, showing people the truth of the Bible, forming and equipping them for ministry. I'll trust that you'll use the Bible to teach and transform us. I trust that you'll help me love and serve your people. I trust that today you'll give enough time, energy, and wisdom for me to serve you as you want." And you might like to add your other trusts, you see, because I'm just now learning to say, "God, I trust you for my old age. God, I trust you that if I get sick, you'll still look after me God, I trust you that you'll sort out Iraq and Afghanistan. God, I trust that you'll care for the indigenous people of Australia. And so on. And so on. My point is, don't just do it, say it. Because trust isn't just an interior attitude. It's a statement of faith in our gracious, loving Heavenly Father. If you do it, say it, I trust you. And if you don't do it, naturally, that's all the more reason to say it. I trust you for my health. I trust you for my stepmother. I trust you for my children. I trust you for my future. I trust you for the past of my life, which is now irrecoverable. I trust you for people who've died. I trust you for unborn babies. I trust you for the work of the gospel in Australia. I trust you for the work of the Church of St. Alfred's. I trust you for our leaders. I trust you for the work of the gospel all around the world. It seems extravagantly ridiculous for me to say that we can say to God, we trust you for all these things, except that we can. What a great God. What a powerful, loving and compassionate Heavenly Father. What a great Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who understands us from the inside, but died in our place on the cross for our sins and rose again. And what a glorious Holy Spirit who leads us to know God and to trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Well, praise God for that. Praise God for that. Let's pray together. O God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can trust you with all our heart, and we can in all our ways acknowledge you and trust you. Please make us people who are full of faith, and help us to know you as our gracious God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.